Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk a little baseball with Mark Feinsand, who does a fine job for MLB.com. You see him on TV on the MLB Network as well. Mark, Joe, and Evan, how you doing?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Tremendous, Mark. Tremendous.
Excellent. Excellent.
Big day tomorrow. Garrett Cole, the press conference, the whole deal. Now, our producer, I want to hit you with this, Mark. Our producer, the great Ernie Acosta, who's a major, big-time Yankee fan, loves a huge Yankee fan, okay? He says that if he doesn't get at least two championships out of Garrett Cole, he doesn't care if he wins eight Cy Youngs, then it wasn't worth the signing. What do you say to that?
Well, here was my question. What happened in the ninth year? Why didn't he win nine Cy Youngs? Yeah. I don't understand. It's a nine-year deal. Look, this is what Yankee fans think right now. And if you think back 11 years ago, it was the same exact thing when C.C. Sabathia signed. It was, okay, he better win a couple of World Series. Well, he won one in the first year, and he didn't win one again. And, you know, as a result, and especially because he won it in the first year, and then he was here for all those years, and they didn't win again, people looked at that contract as not being great. If Cole wins the World Series next year, and that's the only one they get, they'll be really happy next year, but fans will ultimately look back at the contract and say, well, you know, he won one World Series. Big deal.
Yeah, look, I get that every season is about winning a championship. I don't know what that feels like, but I respect that. But this is baseball, and he's a starting pitcher, and the guy could be the most dominant starting pitcher in the world. That doesn't guarantee you anything. There's a lot of different ways to win a championship. A lot of things has to go your way. Garrett Cole could win every postseason game he ever starts as a New York Yankee. If they don't hit, if the rest of the rotation struggles, if the bullpen struggles, you'll still lose the series. That's the thing about it.
Of course. Look, this is not basketball where one guy can put his, you know,
exactly,
team on his back and say, I'm going to carry you to the promised land. You know, it's one of the sports that you just can't do that in. And as good as Garrett Cole can be, like you said, let's say the bullpen blows a game. You know, he pitches eight shutout innings and then Chapman blows a save. Well, is that Garrett Cole's fault? No, of course not.
No.
So, you know, judging him and his contract based solely on championships is obviously silly.
Well,
but I
agree it's obviously silly, but our fine producer is quite silly,
See, we
Mark.
Obviously look at it differently, Mark, because we're Met fans, so we don't know what championships are.
I don't think
are.
It's about though, you know being I mean? A Met fan. It's about being intellectually honest with yourself.
It is true, but there is a different feel to the Yankee fan. You know that.
Hey, I'm a Redskins fan and a Knicks fan, so I completely understand
what you're talking about.
You know, but look, Garrett Cole puts them in a position where they are the favorites going into this year. There's no question about it, right? The only team that was even on the same realm as them was Houston, and they took Cole out of Houston's rotation and put him in their rotation. And, you know, I think going into this year, it's fair to say if they are not in the World Series, and maybe if they don't win the World Series, then this year will certainly be a major disappointment for the Yankees.
No question. Now, let's look at this roster, and we'll get to the Mets and get to the rest of Major League Baseball. The one thing, and it was an issue last year, and it looks like it may even be a bigger issue this year, is the lack of left-handed bats in this lineup. They have Mike Tauchman. They have Brett Gardner. But Didi is gone now. They don't have and maybe Mike Ford when he gets a chance to play. Is it a priority from what you're hearing for Brian Cashman to go out and add another left-handed bat to this lineup?
I don't think it's a priority the way that Garrett Cole is a priority, but it's certainly something they would like to do. You know, you've heard some whispers about maybe a trade with the Giants or Brandon Belt. You know, maybe they look to first base as a spot where they can add a lefty bat. But that said, you know, if they don't add a lefty bat, I don't think it's going to be, oh my God, what are we going to do? You know, guys will come available during the course of the season. They can always add somebody as the year goes on. But, yeah, I think they would certainly like to add a lefty bat going into spring training.
Mm. All right, let's talk about the Mets. How soon will Steve Cohen's money take effect? That's what I really want. Mark, that's really what I want to know, you know, because I want Mookie Betts next year. So I'm like, I don't mind being almost on a holding pattern. You know, I was shocked they signed Waka and Porcello. I couldn't believe that. But, I mean, you know, how soon till Cohen is really going to have the effect that the Met fan wants?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. Right now, I think the bigger question is that Cespedes money being reinvested in payroll and in players. Because if it is, then they've got a little money to play with,
right.
Where they can maybe go out and sign a reliever or two. They need a backup catcher. There's a ton of guys out there for that spot. The bullpen should be their focus. I assume that it is. But that said, even if they bring in a reliever or two, you're not bringing in that top level ninth inning guy or you know, Betances has the potential to be that guy once he comes back, you know, a setup guy in the eighth. But look, the Mets are going to need Familia and Diaz to produce next year. Yeah. They've signed them. They've had money invested in those guys. Those guys have track records. And whatever happened in 2019, the Mets need to hope that those guys turn it around in 2020 because, you know, the blueprint for this team is going to be those guys pitching important innings late in the game. You can't just go out, have guys like that and just say, all right, well, we're just going to sign three or four other guys because those guys didn't get it done this year. It's just not the way it works.
So then you see them adding one reliever in free agency or none at all then, based on what you're
saying?
Well,
I think they'll add one. You know, is there a chance they add two? Sure, there's a chance. Again, it depends on, sort of how they're going to allocate this money that they have with the Cespedes situation. I certainly think that there's a chance they add two. I think they would almost definitely look to add one.
One other thing about this, when they signed Michael Wacha, I think my reaction, Joe's reaction is, really, that's your fifth starter? Then they had Rick Porcello, and we're both like, okay, great, they have starting pitching depth. But it appears Wacha thought he was going to be in the rotation. Is he going to be in the rotation, or is he more of a swing guy? Is Brody planning on moving someone else out of this rotation, whether it is Marcus Stroman or Steven Matz? I doubt Noah Syndergaard. What are you hearing about what their plan is for their rotation after signing two starters?
You know, I've covered baseball for too long to sit here in December and look at six guys in a rotation and assume they're all going to be healthy on April 1st, right? We've seen too many situations I covered the Yankees for a long time. We saw too many situations where we went into spring training and, well, they've got six or seven starters and they're going to have all these competitions and whatever. And then by April 1st, one or two of them were on the DL and, maybe three of them, and then they were looking for a starting pitcher. So if the Mets have six healthy starting pitchers when spring training breaks at the end of March, that's a great problem to have.
But Mark, I agree
no,
with
No, we
you.
Agree with that, but
I
we're afraid
that.
They're going to trade one of these
exactly.
guys. Exactly. That's what we're talking about. Steven
I haven't heard
traded.
Anything. I haven't heard anything about any potential trades. I don't think that's the plan right now. Now, look, if you get overwhelmed for somebody, then there's always a chance it happens. But I would think that they would carry these six guys into spring training and see how it takes out.
Mm. What's your thoughts, and going talking baseball with Mark Feinstein? Well, what's your thought? Because we both wanted, Evan and I both wanted Joe Girardi to manage the Mets. And, of course, you know, it couldn't be worse. Now he's in the division with the Phillies. What's your thoughts on Beltran? Just give me your overall feeling. Look, we don't know what kind of manager he's going to be. But, you know, you've been around Beltran, you know, when he's with the Yankees for sure, Mets as well. What's your overall feeling on him?
I know Carlos pretty well from when he was with the Yankees for those 2.5 years. I think he's going to be a good manager. This guy knows baseball as well as anybody that I've ever talk to in a clubhouse, and I would just sit there and talk baseball with him and ask him about things that happened in a game, and he, you know, there wasn't anything that escaped him. And I think he is he gonna hit some speed bumps like every rookie manager does? Yeah, because that's part of the gig. I've talked to managers who said the first half of your first season is about getting acclimated with the speed of the game and making decisions and when to have relievers up. And obviously you lean on your pitching coach. He's got a new pitching coach who's also going to be learning on the fly. So there may be some times in April, May, June, where the two of you were on the radio the next morning going, I can't believe he did this.
Right. I'm sure that'll happen. Take that to the bank, Mark.
But after that first half of the season, once you've got 80 games under your belt and you have a feel for how that goes, I don't think being a new manager is a problem anymore. I think Beltran's going to do a good job. But like every other manager out there, you're only as good as your players, right? We've seen some really, really good managers have some really, really lousy teams, and it's because the players don't perform. The manager's job is to put them in the best position to succeed, and I think Carlos has the baseball IQ and the wherewithal to be able to do that.
And vice versa, too. Some really, really bad managers that have a lot of talent, so it works both ways. We're talking to Mark Feinstein about baseball. This offseason's been fun. Maybe not as a Met fan, but in general, it's been a fun offseason. And I'm almost sitting here, thank you, Ernie, just filled up water because I'm parched. And I tried to throw the bottle at him, and I threw a line drive that went off the door. So my apologies.
It wasn't a good throw.
Well, you know what it was? Here's the thing. I had an empty water bottle, Mark, and for everybody
it's
listening.
It's tough to have any kind. Yeah, it's hard to throw an empty water bottle.
And I thought the air was going to take it, so I threw it harder than my plan.
You need to throw like a spiral with that.
Is that what
like it is? Like a knuckleball.
No, you need to throw it like a football. You need to kind of get it spiraling, and I think you get a little better feel to it, Mark.
Or just toss it, not fire it at me.
Well, I fired it because I thought the air was going to take
either,
it.
Ernie. You know,
yeah, can you make a dive for it?
No.
Well, sorry,
this is as far as I go.
This is what goes on here, Mark. We just want to let you know.
I'll tell you, being on the other side of the phone, this is compelling radio.
Yeah, I'm sure Chernoff's happy about it.
Well, what are we doing here? Middays.
Yes.
So I'm expecting Lindor and Mookie Betts to get traded. Like, I'm just expecting more crazy stuff to happen because this has been a very compelling offseason. Let's start with Lindor. The Indians, they're a small market team. That's the way they've acted. They trade Trevor Bauer. They trade Corey Kluber. The owner said a year ago or less than a year ago, we're not going to be able to re-sign Lindor. They do have 2 years of control of him. So they don't have to deal him, but this is probably the best time to deal him because they do have 2 years of control. What are you hearing about Francisco Lindor and his future?
Well, I think the Kluber trade took away some of the need to trade Lindor right now. It certainly, you know, helps with some salary relief on their payroll. And I think if they're overwhelmed with an offer for Lindor, they're open to trading him. That said, if you're in July and there's a team that believes that Francisco Lindor is the guy who's going to put them over the top, that urgency and that deadline approaching on July 31st can make teams do silly things. And especially would not be a rental. He'd have a year and a half left. I would not be at all surprised if Lindor is on the Indians going into this year. And then if they're contending, maybe they hold him and trade him next winter. And if things aren't going so well, then perhaps they trade him in the offseason. In the summer.
Right.
You'll have great value with him where he can still impact a pair of pennant races rather than just one.
You know, we were both kind of surprised that Bumgarner signed with Arizona. I mean, Arizona's a team that let Goldschmidt go. You know, you're looking at them. What about that? What was your thoughts on him going to the Diamondbacks?
Had a couple of different thoughts. Number one, it potentially frees up the GM, Mike Hazen, to trade Robbie Ray, who's been a very popular name on the trade market for the last year or so. So that's number one. Number two, this is a team that after trading Paul Goldschmidt, letting A.J. Pollock walk, letting Patrick Corbin walk, and then trading Zach Greinke, finished four games out of a playoff spot last year. So perhaps with what they saw late in the season, the Diamondbacks all of a sudden thought, you know what, if we add another pitcher to this rotation, maybe we can get a playoff spot this year. And if it's not going well, sort of the same thing I just said about the Indians, well, people need pitching in July, people overpay for pitching in July, and then maybe Robbie Ray gets moved. To me, the most surprising thing about the Bumgarner contract was the number, because once Zach Wheeler got 118, everybody in this industry believed it was a lock that Bumgarner was going to get 100, and yet you look at it, he got 85 over 5 years.
Right,
basically
right.
The same money that the Yankees gave A.J. Burnett 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, while Cole doubled CeCe's contract from 11 years ago, Bumgarner got the same money that A.J. Burnett got, which I expected that Bumgarner was going to get more given his track record.
I respect it. I mean, this is clearly
a guy. Probably want to be in Arizona.
Well, that's it.
You know?
I respect the guy who said this
Can't
is where I want to play.
I wouldn't mind being in Arizona either right now. Be honest.
But as much as you would, in all seriousness, would you take less money?
To be in Arizona?
I don't know,
talking millions and millions, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does it come with a membership to a golf course?
Yeah, right. Well, I got to have one of those. You know that. That's a given, Mark.
Right.
It's a guy who's accomplished everything when it comes to the postseason. So maybe for him, not that he doesn't have a desire to win, but he doesn't feel that same desperation that other guys do. Look, the guy's already a postseason legend. The guy's already gotten three championships. The guy's already accomplished so much with what he's done. His World Series performances, and maybe this is a part of it, if he never pitches another World Series game, he will finish his postseason career with 4 starts, 1 bullpen appearance, 4-0 with a 0.25 ERA and 36 innings in the World Series. It is possibly the greatest World Series resume ever. So, hey, why blemish it with anything? You may not have to pitching in Arizona.
You know, and he was playing in the National League West his whole career. He knows the Diamondbacks very well. He's pitched against that team many times. Maybe there's something about that club he likes. Maybe he likes Torrey Lovello. Maybe he loves pitching in that ballpark. I mean,
I think he likes Scottsdale, if you really want to know. I think that's what
he's good for him. The Giants have spring training in Scottsdale, so he knows Scottsdale really well, too.
There you go.
You know
that's
what?
A great point.
In any walk of life, You do what you want. You know right. what? He wants to go play there, take less money. Good right. for him. Right. He's accomplished it. You know, he wants to go
of
play
course.
There.
Of course.
That's his prerogative. So when I heard the news, I was surprised, like everybody, especially when you look at the money. But, you know, good for him.
You know, Evan, you mentioned Betts before. I think Betts probably doesn't get traded now. I think it's far more likely that the Red Sox clear out some payroll by trading David Price. They've got a lot of teams interested in Price.
That's amazing.
People need pitching. And I think if the Red Sox are going to make a big trade, I would I'd probably put the chip down on Price.
Will Betts be out there, Mark? I mean, next year? I mean, there's no way the Red Sox are going to re-sign this guy? I mean, I don't get that either.
You know, it doesn't seem like ownership has interest in giving him $300 million plus, which, you know, if you're going to invest money in somebody, that's the guy to do it in. You know, he's $300 million plus for one of the five best players in the game. Seems to make sense. But, you know, the Red Sox have a lot of money tied up in Price, in Sale, Eovaldi, some of these other guys they've signed, Bogart to an extension. You know, look, if they trade Price and get that $36 million off their books, maybe they figure out a way to sign Betts. I think ideally that's the path they take, is to trade Price, open up that payroll, and leave open the opportunity to sign Betts to a long-term deal.
I got to tell you, and I'll admit I'm wrong on this about David Price. I was saying this to Jared Carrabas of Barstool, who's a big Red Sox guy. I said, boy, you got to take back a bad contract to get David Price off your hands. The guy's 34 years old. He's going to be 35 in the summer. He's making $30-plus million a year. He's coming off a horrible second half. I am surprised when you say there's a hot market for him.
Yeah, that is surprising.
I'm surprised to hear that when you look at his age and performance in the latter part of last year, that teams really can't wait to take on David Price and the 3 years and $85, $90 million left on his deal?
Well, two things on that. Number one, he was having a really good season the first half last year. He was 7-2 with an ERA just over 3 when he got hurt. And then his season went in the tank from there. I didn't say they weren't going to take a bad contract back, though.
Okay.
But it'll be if they take back a bad contract, it would be a bad contract that would be of use to them. You know, you're talking about something like with the Padres, bringing back Will Myers and putting him at first base. You're talking about maybe a trade with the Cardinals, or you take back Matt Carpenter and put him at first base. It'll be a contract that will be usable for a player that they think, with a change of scenery and 81
Mark,
games at Fenway Park, could be helpful.
Mark,
really
helpful. I got it. Robinson Cano.
Oh, my God.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I'm in.
You're in?
I'm in.
And
I can't stand Price. Let me tell you right now. I am in for that. And
you just said the Mets had too many starts.
You know what,
no,
though? To get rid of Robbie Cano and put Jeff McNeil back at second base and not have to worry about Cano anymore, done.
I'm of the minority opinion that Cano is going to bounce back and have a good year this year. I think Beltran's going to have a good impact on him.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to throw this out there so you can remember that you heard this from me, and I've been saying this for a while, and Ev knows where I'm going with this.
Yep.
Yoenis is going to have a huge year playing for the money. Watch out. And now he's got even more incentive, because we know how he is, playing for a contract. Plus, they got all these new incentives because, you know, they redid his contract, so they got all these performance clauses in there. Watch out for Yoenis this year. Now, I wouldn't
resign
him after
that. If he's healthy, he can hit, right? We know he can hit.
No doubt.
Question is, can he be healthy?
Yep.
That's the one
that's
thing I'm skeptical 140 about.
140 games this year, MVP candidate. Remember, you heard it from me.
Well, I'm gonna keep that in my mind, and we'll see where we are in about July. We'll readdress that.
There you go. Of course.
Are the Cubs gonna trade Chris Bryant?
Well, they can't trade him until they figure out this service time grievance, because whether he has 1 year or 2 years left of control is going to be a huge factor, right? I mean, you're not going to make a trade for that guy if you don't know you have for 1 year or 2 years. So once that gets settled, then I could see it, and I think the Braves are the logical team if they don't re-sign Josh Donaldson. Bryant to the Braves makes too much sense, but they'll have to give up. They'll have to give up, you know, a lot of that
Austin
top farm
Riley.
System to get him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the Braves!
Boy, I tell you, the Braves and the Phillies.
We don't want Donaldson. We'll take Bryant. I mean,
I know.
Come on.
And then Donaldson ends up with the Nationals,
right?
Which may happen.
Well, we got Mariznick.
Like, I feel like I'm in a Mets support group right now.
Well, this is our whole life.
Well, part of your world in baseball is the guys and the teams around you, and the National League East is really good.
Right.
I've been saying that's one of the real positive things with the Yankees is that, okay, we know the Orioles are rebuilding. Tampa's going to be good. They're resourceful. But we also know the Rays are not going out making big moves. And you talked about it with David Price and potentially Mookie Betts. The Red Sox are going the other way.
Yep.
The one team in that division that's sort of intriguing, And I'm I got to tell you, I'm ready to pick them as my sleeper team.
Go. Toronto?
It's Toronto. Because here's why, all right? They have a lot of good young position players. We already know that. But they're going out and they're aggressive on starting pitching. I don't love Tanner Roark, but they've been linked to Hyunjin Ryu. What are you hearing about with the Toronto Blue Jays? And by the way, when I say sleeper, I'm talking 83 wins
here.
Right. I'm not talking winning the division.
You're thinking about betting the over.
Yeah, the over. Not beating the Yankees for the division.
Right, well, I understand.
All right.
Yeah, I like what the Blue Jays are doing. Like you said, that core of young position players is really impressive. They're just going to keep getting better with time. And, you know, the Blue Jays have been linked to a bunch of starting pitching. It wouldn't surprise me if Ryu ends up there or if Dallas Keuchel were to end up there. I think they're trying. They're not just saying, oh, well, the Yankees are going to win 110 games and the Rays are a 95-win team and the Red Sox have a lot of money, so we're just going to keep rebuilding. They're looking at an active rebuild where they're trying to contend in the meantime. So I applaud what their front office is doing, and I think you're right. I think they have the potential, if they can add an arm or two, be an interesting team, and really interesting is all you're looking for when you're in that position.
Yeah, look, they won 67 games last year, but to your point, this is the Yankee division. We all get that. But now they hand out not one but two wild card spots, and I think if you're a baseball team, even if you're not nearly as good as the Yankees, you want to get better because once you get to the playoffs, who the heck knows what's going to happen?
Except unless if the Yankees are playing the Twins, then we know what's going to happen.
Then we know. That's the one guarantee.
Death taxes and the Yankees beating the Twins in the playoffs.
And no
right?
question about it.
No,
it's a gimme.
Right.
It's a gimme.
Right.
And the Jets won't win the Super Bowl. There you go. I mean, we're good.
That's another
you know, they beat my football team this year, so I really
Your football team's not very good, so.
No,
we understand.
Awfully.
You want Urban Meyer as the coach?
I'll take you as the coach over.
No, you would. You seriously? You want Urban Meyer? Do you?
Not really. That's the big splashy Spurrier type move.
Right,
although Urban
exactly.
Meyer is a much better.
Right.
Although Urban Meyer is a much better coach, and certainly wouldn't be out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon playing golf and working 6-hour days like Spurrier did.
Right.
So
that is true.
Urban Meyer would be interesting, but I'd rather them find some players who can play rather than a coach.
You like the quarterback or not?
Incomplete. Haven't decided yet. He looked really good this week. He's shown some flashes that I like as a fan. I'm not claiming to be any sort of an expert, but as a fan watching him, he's shown a few flashes that I like. You know, he's raw. He's not ready yet, but hopefully he's learning from what he's going through right now.
Mm. Mark, excellent. We appreciate all the time you gave
Mark,
us.
Mark, always
Thank
a
you,
pleasure, man. Happy
all
holidays.
Right, congrats on the midday.
The midday, exactly.
Well,
thank
right,
you,
the midday, you hit it right on the head.
Exactly.
I think
you
meant something else.
No, but he actually hit it right.
Congrats. How about that? Congratulations, fellas. That's right.
Well,
thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark Feinstein does a very good job with
all
MLB.
These people are congratulating us.
I don't know what exactly? I thought it was the net win the other night.
I'm getting all these, like Johnny D's calling me. I'm hearing from all these different people, and I'm like, for what?
Listen, we're very honest people. This is an honest answer. We haven't signed anything.
Nothing is signed.
I mean,
absolutely not.
I'm not saying that won't happen.
No, we're not saying that either.
It may happen.
At this moment in time, there is absolutely no contract signed.
That's right.
That's that for either of us.
That's a true story.
That is correct.
True story.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.